This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To London, the Wall Street Journal commenting on Prime Minister Boris Johnson's challenge by his own party, the Conservatives. That Boris Johnson survived Monday's snap no confidence vote, writes the Journal, within his own party is a testament to the British Prime Minister's charisma and cunning. That he faced the vote at all is a sign that he and his Tory party remain in grave political danger, and for reasons conservatives in other parts of the world can learn from. I welcome Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He is in London. He writes political economics. And Joe, for some months, has been commenting on his expectation that Boris Johnson was in very deep trouble, despite my questioning that what drives this so-called Partygate is a series of celebrations that were held at Number 10 and other facilities associated with the government during the Christmas holidays of 2020, the first year of the pandemic. In any event, Boris Johnson is in trouble, and this survival looks at this moment to be fragile. Joe, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The Prime Minister survived a vote of his own party. However, I'm told by the London headlines, the London Times, the London Telegraph, the Daily Mail, that this is a temporary survival, that he's weakened and that he either needs to act in some fashion or get out of the way. What is your measure of this vote? Did it chastise him enough to correct his way? Far-fetched. Did it arouse the Tory party to do something again? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Well, I mean, as concerns Boris Johnson, stick a fork in him, he's done. He has survived this no confidence vote this week within his own party. But there are two problems with this situation that I don't think he's ultimately going to be able to recover from. One problem is just the number of his own members of parliament within the Conservative Party who voted against him. I mean, the margin of the vote was 41% of them said that they don't have any confidence in him. And so that, I mean, means that a majority do. But such a large group have lost the faith that it's really difficult to see how he's going to recover from that politically, how he can sort of regain that trust and enough of a sense of direction to keep them on board. And that, I mean, only accentuates even bigger problem the prime ministers have always run into in the situation, which is that as soon as you're in a position where you are fending off a no confidence vote, it's over. Because this is not something that happens to prime ministers who kind of have a united party and have a direction that people are on board with and have a certain amount of a sufficient level of sort of popularity among the broader electorate that, the party members don't think that there's anything in it to challenge that person. Boris has lost that veneer. And, having lost it, it's a devilishly difficult thing to get back. And it's noticeable that really in the hours since that vote on Monday evening, he has done exactly the wrong things to try to win it back. I mean, the only hope he would have had in this situation to try to unite his party again behind him would have been an excess of contrition. It should have been something like, well, I am sobered by this result. I understand that I have a big problem and I have a lot of work done to win back the trust of the people who have voted against me. Instead, the attitude has been, well, you guys lost, so now you're just going to have to shut up and fall in line. That isn't really a good political strategy. So I think that he is kind of at the end of the road for where his charisma can, allow him to brazen it out.
Joe, it is an observation of WAGS. I can't remember where the original, but it goes this way. The only way that prime ministers leave Number 10 is either in a coffin or a straitjacket. That appears to be the way Boris Johnson intends. He intends to leave when he's finished, meaning the coffin. But the party wants him out in a straitjacket. So is this ceremony routine that we go through this? You elect a man to lead you to a great triumph, and then you throw him out of a window and move on.
Well, I think the key problem here is actually the circumstances of his election. And, you know, ironically enough, the situation that led to this historic election victory that he won in 2019 have ended up sowing the seeds for the trouble that he's having now. So, I mean, if you look at where Britain was in 2019, Brexit was still the issue. The big problem that they were having to deal with was how they were going to heed the will of the voters and execute Britain's departure from the European Union. And he won a huge majority of 80 seats in the parliament, a historic win, by promising to get Brexit done. And that allowed him to bring on side voters from a lot of districts that historically had voted for the Labour Party, but were going to vote for him because they trusted him on Brexit. And his problem ever since has been that now Brexit has happened. And without Brexit as a crutch for him to lean on, he has really struggled mightily to articulate any kind of economic agenda that can keep those voters behind him. I think that the economy is really the key thing that you have to remember here, that is the key to all of this. I mean, the parties are a very embarrassing scandal. I think the fact that he and, you know, members of his staff organized all of these parties that were kind of illegal under the pandemic lockdown rules, and then he may or may not have misled people about it after the fact. I mean, that's all very embarrassing. That will provide a convenient pretext for members of his party who do want to defenestrate him eventually. That's not what this is about. This is about the fact that the country is in the grip of an inflation and a cost of living crisis. The economy seems to be stuck, and Boris doesn't really have a convincing plan to get out of it. And I think that that is the thing that is causing a lot of voters to lose the faith, and that is what a lot of these Conservative members of Parliament got an earful from their constituents about when they were home during the recess last week.
The question, what does Boris do next? And it's being entertained by all the pages. I only know what I read, Joe. You're there. One possibility is to call a snap election and challenge the rebels in his own party, whether they want his support or whether they want to face Labour and the wrath of the public. Is that viable from your understanding?
My sense is that a snap election would be just about the last thing that he would want to do at this point. There are two constituencies or parliamentary districts in which he's not going to have a choice, because the next big political event in this country will happen 2 weeks from this coming Thursday, when we're going to have by-elections in two constituencies to replace Conservative members of Parliament who have been forced to resign amid various scandals. And those two elections, both of them, you know, traditionally pretty safe Conservative seats, I think, are not expected to go well for the Conservative Party. And so I think that the worst thing that can happen to Boris at this point is for the Tories to lose one or both of those seats, either to Labour or to the centrist Liberal Democratic Party. And if that happens, the knives really come out for Boris politically. And so I think in that situation, problem with calling a general election as a way to get out of this mess is that the Tories would almost certainly perform worse than they did back in 2019. And then his goose would be completely cooked several times over.
You tell me that Boris was doomed the moment he was booed going into part of the Jubilee. Was that on television, Joe?
Yes. I mean, listeners will remember that over the past weekend, we had a 4-day weekend to celebrate Queen Elizabeth II's 70 years on the throne. And part of that festivity was that on Friday, there was a major religious service of Thanksgiving at St. Paul's Cathedral in the heart of London. Boris Johnson was booed by part of the crowd as he entered the cathedral. And I think that that will have been a particularly frightening thought politically for a lot of Conservatives, because, I mean, you're talking about a crowd here who is very patriotic, who is very enthusiastic about British tradition, who wanted to show up to cheer on the country very patriotically to celebrate the Queen. That should have been a Tory crowd, you know, a Conservative Party, you know, sympathetic crowd. And the thought that they were actually booing the prime minister, and the crowd was making a political gesture at what everyone understood was really not meant to be a political occasion, I think is a sign of the loss of trust and the sort of dislike that the public increasingly seems to feel for Boris. And some of the reporting I've seen suggests that that moment, for precisely that reason, is one of the things that really put a fright into some of these conservative members of parliament.
There's politics in China, the People's Republic of China. And when we come back, she is campaigning for a third term. How? Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he writes political economics based in London. I'm John Batchelor.